The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How the f*** have you not seen that?
Hello and welcome to the latest episode. This is the part of our podcast where we delve into our closets of shame to discuss the films that we definitely should have seen, have definitely pretended to have seen, but actually haven't. And that person who reveals in each episode what it is that they haven't seen has to go and watch it and then do a quiz to prove that they have.
I would say we're on episode like 15 of this and it still hasn't happened. So, you know, it will one day.
It was close. Well, those dulcet tones that you hear there, that's Len.
Hello.
Yeah, our big bear. And then we've got...
I'm very bearded at the moment. basically, anyone who's keeping up to date with current affairs, yeah, and I'm sure you have been, everybody, we're in lockdown again here in Australia. And much to my partner's dismay, every time lockdown happens, I decide to just say, fuck it. And I let my hair grow really long. I let my beard go really long. I've just given up, really. So she's not happy.
No.
But in other news, you know, I look very bearded, like a bear, says Emma.
Yeah,
so great
like
news.
A bear. Yeah, but
not
could
bear.
Could I possibly be giving some clues? Because we also have our Russian cosmonaut, Gareth, joining us today.
Take it. He's an interesting character.
Hello,
also
Gareth.
In lockdown.
Welcome.
I do the opposite when we go into lockdown. Also, to my wife's despair, I shave every time we go into lockdown.
Maybe we should swap wives.
I've floated that idea many times. And
can I just say, for the listeners,
watches in a bowl.
This is not fan critical wife swap. This
swingers.
Is, this is a,
fan critical fan swingers.
This
fan
is swingers. Not Sorry. That kind of podcast. And for those of you who don't know, I'm Emma, one of the women of Fan Critical. In case
Hello,
you can't
Emma.
Tell our voices. Hello.
Hello.
So today,
why have you got a beard? No, joking.
Lockdown,
not even in lockdown.
Not even in lockdown. No, I just work. I work from home, so everyone thinks it's a Zoom filter.
In a carnival.
Yeah, I'm the bearded lady on Zoom. well, that was a lovely introduction to this episode.
Roll up. See the bearded lady.
Only me.
And the shaved Gaz.
I'd pay for that, to be fair. I'd pay £2, two English pounds for that.
You want to shave him, if anything, so...
Yeah,
anyway, let's crack on. This is getting silly.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Isn't it just as what happens when you record it of an evening in Melbourne? So the film that we're going to be talking about today is the 1998 Michael Bay masterpiece, debatable, Armageddon. And before I reveal, if you don't already know who's not seen this film, as a guess, what do you think that the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is?
Audience score? Ooh,
audience.
Interesting question. I actually haven't done any research. I've seen this film like probably 15 times, but I would guess audience score 81%.
Nah, it's going to be lower than that. It's going to be like 60%.
Well, it's smack bang in the middle of that. It's 73%, which I think is about right.
So bang in the middle.
But the tomato meter.
I win.
Anyone want to, the actual...
Closest
critics
without
consensus.
Going over.
60%.
Gaz?
Nah, 40%.
38%. So this is one of those films which
two
I think
two.
Is a classic, but it is not particularly critically acclaimed, let's all be honest. And actually, interestingly, that Gaz got those scores not far off, because Gareth, until now, had never seen Armageddon.
Yeah. How the fuck have you not seen that?
It's weird that, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, Gareth, how the fuck have you not seen that?
I don't really know. To be fair, like, big budget action movies were never really my thing. And I was 10 when this came out. I probably I don't know, what else would I have been watching in 1998? Something on Nickelodeon, probably. I had no interest in this. And
same as now, then.
Sister, sister. Go home, Roger.
Definitely, definitely.
Go home, Roger.
Who loves orange soda? Yeah, sorry, I'll stop now.
Orange soda. Good times. Good times. Those are my memories of 1998. Not Armageddon. I will say, I love the theme song to it. I've always known
absolute
that.
Banger.
I've known that for a long time. I can do a fine rendition as well when I'm suitably drunk. But
go on then. Go on then.
Not suitably drunk.
Go on then.
So there you go. There's my get out clause.
We'll get it at the end of the podcast.
Coward.
I'm sure.
Maybe a couple of whiskeys down. We'll see. We'll see what happens. That wasn't me, by the way, just for anyone listening.
So, I mean, and now you've gone 20-odd years without ever watching it, Gaz, which I think is shameful.
Yeah.
Very shameful.
Yeah, I mean, how often are you sitting down going, we're going to watch a movie tonight, do you know what? Let's watch Armageddon. Like, nah. No.
I've done that about seven often. Times, actually.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you. I genuinely have done that a lot.
I mean, I said to my wife, I've got to bloody watch something
which
for
one?
How the fuck
did we
you
swap at this
that?
Point or
my current wife. And
so we swap in the next episode of how the fuck have you not swapped wives?
Yeah.
Again.
I said to her, I've got to watch a film for how the fuck have you not seen that? Armageddon. And she was like, oh yeah, I'll watch it with you. I haven't seen it either. And I said, how the fuck have you not seen that? But she also has a terrible track record with movies. So
yeah,
that was less of a surprise, I think.
We love your wife, but that is true. Yeah. Well, Gaz, before you tell us how you and your wife felt about watching
She opted out in the end.
Well, spoiler warning. Len, tell us your experience. I mean, we've had a little bit there of, you know, repeated watchings. Tell us your experience of the film Armageddon.
Yeah, I saw this film... Pretty much, I remember there was this phase of my life when 1998 to sort of 2001, 2002.
The pre-Gaz era.
I have very distinct pre-Gaz. I have very distinct memories of how I used to consume movies. I was so into films from a very young age. Anyone knows I saw RoboCop at the age of like 4 or 5. I saw
Bad Parenting.
Child's Play at the age of 4. Yeah, at the age of 4 or 5. I was very desensitized to any films above a PG from a very young age. So it was very frustrating for me because I was actually quite up on film news as well, even at a young age. I'm talking about even at the age of 10, I would see a trailer for a film that was coming out in the cinema. Say it had like a 15 certificate or an R rating in America. And I used to say to my mum and dad, there's no way I can go see that, obviously. As soon as it comes out in the video store, and there was this local video...
Can we go to Blockbuster?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But I lived in a small village and there was only one video store within like an hour drive, you know, half an hour one way, half an hour the other way. So an hour radius of the city, of the village, sorry. And I remember being so excited going to this video store when certain films had come out. And I'm thinking some that stick out in my mind are like Independence Day and Armageddon... is 100% one of those films. I remember seeing a trailer for it and not being able to go see it because I was underage, obviously. And it came out in a video store. The day it came out in a video store, we reserved it, we went and picked it up, brought it back and watched it, and I loved it. I love space films, anything to do with space, basically. As a kid, I was obsessed with dinosaurs and space.
Dinosaurs in space. Is
that's
even
exactly
better,
what I was thinking. That'd
be a winner.
Dinosaurs
that'd
in space. Winner.
So when this came out and we rented it and brought it home, I was so excited, and I have very fond memories of the film for that reason. Look, it's not a great film in terms of the fact that it's a Michael Bay film. It's super heavy action, stylized and dramatic. However, I will say this about the film. I have extremely fond memories of it, as you've just heard. Bruce Willis, I think, is great in the film. I like Ben Affleck in the film. In fact, I like the whole cast. I love the story. And, yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yes, it's been proven that this would not be possible. However, just because it holds such a fond place in my heart, it gets four blueberries for me, okay? Because it's so, it's just like Gaz said, who sits down and watches this film? I sit down and watch this film, I would say, at least once a year. And that sounds mad to people. Maybe not out of choice. It's usually one of those films that you sort of come across at like 10 p.m. at night and you catch the back end of it.
It's like
on
a Saturday
channel.
And you think, oh, yeah. We've had a film, what's on Channel 4? And it's Armageddon Independence Day.
And you're always getting a good time. You're getting some zingy one-liners. You're getting saving the world. There is a bit of emotion in there. And as a kid, I loved it.
Tell me one of the zingy one-liners.
Steve Buscemi gives so many one-liners in this film that I don't think you dare, especially when he goes crazy up on the asteroid. He's hilarious. So for me, I'm giving it 4. I have very, very fond memories of this film. And that is why it gets a decent score. And like we've talked about before with this series, how you saw the film and how you remember the film is actually integral sometimes to your experience and what you remember. Gaz is going to have a completely terrible view of this film because he's watching it as a 33-year-old man who is settled in his life and has got a bit more bitter and cold. You know, I watched this as an 11-year-old kid sitting there so excited,
full
bringing it back from the video store. Full
about
of hope
dinosaurs
and dreams
in space.
Before they got crushed. Exactly. So for me, this is a 4. Holds a very special place in my heart. It was in a special time when I just couldn't watch films in the cinema. So I had to wait ages for the video rentals.
Well, thank you, Len. And I'm so glad that you feel that way about Armageddon. When Gaz said that he'd never seen it, you said it more than once in the last couple of months. And I finally got him to agree to watch it for How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? Armageddon holds a very, very special place in my heart. And I'm going to tell you a story about why. When I was young, my dad looked very much like Bruce Willis. And we loved Bruce Willis as a family. He was one of our favourite actors. So like my favourite Saturday night go-to is, will I watch Die Hard, Armageddon or The Fifth Element?
You have to wait till Christmas to watch Die Hard. That's
great.
Die Hard is my first Christmas film I'll watch, and I will watch it at the beginning of December, and I'll watch it at least another 3 times before Christmas.
That's
correct.
So I very much like you, Len. I obviously was not old enough to have seen this in the cinema. I was 9 when it came out, but we bought it on VHS, and then when it came out on DVD, we also had it on DVD. We'd watch it on a regular basis, and I remember watching this with my dad and my stepmom, and then all of us bawling our eyes out at the end of it. It is just, there are so many problems with this film, right? For just 2 examples today, fire and wind on an asteroid. But in the context of this film, who gives a shit? It's got everything I want from a classic action movie, right? And you've got a plucky hero who's, you know, a little bit rough around the edges, and then, you know, people who don't believe he can do it, and then there's some difficult relationships, and, you know, somebody eventually kind of turns around and becomes fantastic in their eyes, you know, they redeem themselves, and, you know, there's
Steve Buscemi.
You talk about Steve Buscemi. So one of the best one-liners from Steve Buscemi, which I'm 100% sure it is unscripted, so it's when they're on the way up, and I think it's Willie Sharp says something about, you know, get ready for a rocky ride. And Steve Buscemi's floating around and goes, oh, great, I haven't been sick in like an hour. And Bruce Willis is genuinely laughing at him. It is, it's fantastic.
Can I just say a couple of things that I've noticed from your thing there, Emma? Fifth Element falls into that same bracket. I remember renting that from the same video store because it was once again that time. So add that to the list. Fucking great film. God, I really wish none of us had seen Fifth Element. That'd be, maybe Lucy hasn't or something. She probably has.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great film. Unbelievable. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is at this time when Armageddon came out, it was really weird because Deep Impact was like around the same time. It was like within 6 months of each other, right? And anyone who thinks Deep Impact is a better film than
is
this
is an idiot.
I question that. Is an idiot. Okay?
It's a fine film. It's not Armageddon.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, it's not got the same sort of production value as Armageddon. But anyway, maybe I need to watch Deep Impact again, because now I'm sitting there thinking,
yeah, that might be.
Am I being harsh on Deep
Impact? That's a Sunday afternoon maybe. Film, Deep Impact.
So we had two asteroid movies at the same time. And around this time, Volcano, starring Tommy Lee Jones.
And Dante's Peak.
Yeah. And Dante's Peak.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, it was like
Dante's Peak again, an
geographical extinction type films that are very similar, released at the same time.
Do you think we were just starting to learn about global warming, perhaps?
Maybe. Very don't know. Ahead of its time.
I forget, Deep Impact is, again, along the same lines as this. It's the kind of thing I will rewatch because I have fond memories of being mm-hmm. really excited about it. But anyway, that's enough from the very over-exuberant Len and Emma. Gaz, please tell us what you felt and thought in your first viewing of the masterpiece that is Armageddon and the blueberries you will allocate it.
So the fact that you have given it 5 and 4 blueberries respectively makes me want to take blueberries away from my rating.
No.
Yeah, it does, because
this
is ludicrous. Unfortunately, it's not possible for me to take blueberries away from my score for this film.
Shut up. You're not giving it 0. That's not possible.
I wish you could all see my face right now. I'm horrified.
I know.
That is disgraceful.
I've got to pause for Deep Impact here.
Pause for Dante's Peak.
That's not the same. It was, I've got to be honest with you, I enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I would going in.
Yay!
I really did. Like, I could not be fucked watching this. I was like, I know exactly what I'm getting here and I can't be fucked with it. And
sometimes that's nice, Gaz.
Sometimes it is. And it's so fucking stupid, this film. Do you know what percentage of the world's surface, of the Earth's surface, is urbanized or built up in some way?
I'd say 3%.
Spot on.
Was I right?
Spot on, Len. 3% of the Earth's surface. And yet,
nerd.
these asteroids fall 3 times and happen to take out New York, Paris, and Shanghai. What the fucking odds are this? It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, if you're going to start picking it apart, then of course, you're not going to get anything out of it. And I decided, you know, it was a Saturday afternoon. I'd had a busy day. I'd got a lot of shit done and I'd been for a run. I could come back. I sat down, I relaxed, had a beer and watched Armageddon. And I think maybe that's exactly the way that the film's supposed to be enjoyed. That said, it is too stupid, and I can't with any degree of good conscience give this more than 3 blueberries.
That's
not
fine.
To say that I didn't have a good time watching it. I did. Uh-huh. I did. If I fail on this quiz, I'm not fucking watching it again anytime soon, because it's 2.5 Sorry.
I'd forgotten it was 2.5 hours long.
It's 2.5 hours long. It's fucking ludicrous. What are they doing? What? Like, don't do that.
Saving the world.
It's also so Michael Bay'd. It's ridiculous. The action sequences make no fucking sense. I had no idea who had died at any point, or who was in mortal peril, or who had made it back onto the shuttle. I no idea. Because Michael Bay just loves cutting away from things constantly.
The thing about Michael Bay and his filmmaking as well is, like, on Earth, at least he adheres to the rules of gravity in most times. So most of the cuts will be like a sharp cut to the left or a sharp cut to the right. When he's on this asteroid, some of his cuts are happening as the thing's rotating clockwise, counterclockwise, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on here?
It's so bamboozling.
It's absolutely baffling.
I was just sort of waiting for those, like, high-octane action sequences to end to then sort of establish what had happened and who was still alive or what. Yeah. And it also seemed like gravity was a very
debatable force.
It was very transient, wasn't it? Like, sometimes it was there And sometimes it had absolutely nothing to do with it. Sometimes the lack of gravity was very important. Sometimes, honestly, they could have just been fighting in a bar against each other rather than against giant rocks. Like, these scenes were dreadfully edited. But hey, does it matter?
I think there's a certain amount of charm to a 90s action film. 80s and 90s, but 90s especially. There's something about them, and we've mentioned a bunch of them there, that kind of are of this ilk, where a lot of it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, that everyone's not an expert on astrophysics or general basic physics. But it's fun and it's exciting. And in 1998, no one gave a shit. And I still don't now. You know, gravity, Gaz, whatever. Wind on an asteroid,
listeners,
fine.
Listeners, you're not going to like this right now. There is some bug, spider on my mic thing. Gaz, it is a spider. It's disgusting. I'm going to flick it. Oh, I flicked it, Gareth. And Gareth hates spiders, listeners. And that is live. Oh, my God.
That's awful.
Jesus.
How big? And I don't want to know. Don't tell me anything about it.
Imagine, obviously, if it was massive, I would not still be here. It was small and red, Gareth. I don't know what that means here. I'm new to Australia.
Poison.
Kill it.
Poisonous.
Mate, I think kill it immediately, just in case, because that's...
I flicked it with the power of my finger and it's flown somewhere.
If you live in Australia,
just
kill it.
You can sort of let spiders live because it's the right thing to do. In Australia, don't take the risk, mate. Go and find that, kill it.
Well,
get rid of it.
If it survived the flick, maybe it
will. If anything, Len, I think what should happen now, actually, is you should just burn your house down and move.
Good
get
call.
Mel out first. Sorry. Obviously, she's heavily pregnant. But then burn the house down. Just leave. That's it. Go.
You know, we're okay, actually. We're in Melbourne, and Melbourne is a sophisticated, urbane city with not a ridiculous number of spiders. I can tell you, I honestly...
One of the 3%.
it is. It's an extremely... People get the wrong idea about this country and think that we're all sort of... fighting spiders constantly. Not in this part of the world. I see fewer spiders here than I saw in our little village that Len and I grew up in. Honestly,
yeah, they won't kill you. We've massively diverged here.
Sorry. Yeah, I was just
Len. I'm glad you flicked it and you're alive. Let's scuttle our way.
Ooh, scurry
into some of our favourite scenes, shall we? Len, I'm going to come to you first. Tell us about a scene that you really love from Armageddon, and if it's one of mine, I'll be fuming.
It
has to include Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, it's when Ben Affleck's got the little cracker and he's putting it along Liv Tyler's tummy, and he's I'm joking. Oh, I fucking hate that whole bit.
I'll be honest.
North or south?
Or south?
I actually hate all of the sexy scenes between Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler.
Because
it makes me feel a bit ill. So please don't mention any more of those.
Sorry. I will say favorite scenes is tough. It's tough. I'll go talk about the end scene because I find it ludicrous at the same time because I love Bruce Willis' character. Harry Stamper, which is also the most ridiculous name ever. and AJ. And I love the way that he, you know, he rips the arm thing.
You take care
astronaut.
Of my little girl.
You
that's
take
your
care
job
my little
now.
Girl.
I love you, son.
Yeah. That's really sweet and obviously very emotional. But I also love the way how the asteroid gets angry that it's about to be blown up and therefore
this
starts
thing
like,
doesn't
venting.
Like us.
It doesn't want us to leave. It doesn't want to be blown up, or whatever they say. And that cracks me up.
They say it knows we're here to kill it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a rock.
It's so good.
It knows we're here to kill
and he's
it.
Like, he's like waiting to press the button, and then back in Mission Control, obviously they're cutting backwards and forwards and rotating as they're cutting at the same time because it's Michael Bay, and you're like, what's going on? He's like, push the goddamn button, Harry. And it's like, he pushes the button and it all blows up. But there's that whole drama around it. It's crazy and stupid and ridiculous, but I love it. Mainly because I have fond memories of it, but yeah.
That whole kind of set of scenes, so it kind of starts with them going down in the lift and then him, you know, puncturing his air thing, so AJ has to get back in, and they have that whole emotional moment. And then there's the video call with Harry and Grace, and it's like, that's the thing that always gets me, because it's like, oh, my dad's about to save the world but die on an asteroid, and that got me crying. And then I just carried on. Here's a nice little tidbit for you. So there's a bit where Bruce Willis's face is across all of the monitors in Houston.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
And he's talking
to
Liv. No.
It was one of them, dad.
Yeah. Well, I took a picture of it and sent it to my dad and said, just watching you save the world from an asteroid, Dad. Hope you're having a nice day. Oh, he replied with a gif. So, that's good. Yeah, very exciting.
All right. Here's a tidbit for you as well, Emma. Liv Tyler's birthday is the same as my birthday, the 2nd of July. So make of that what you will. That is a tidbit for you.
Well, do you know what's weird about that?
Go on.
Ben Affleck's birthday, same as mine.
Yeah. Is it?
Nah. Could be.
No. Could be.
I wonder when Bruce Willis's birthday is. Anyone want to know? I'll find out.
No. No one wants to know.
No.
It's March 19th, so he's also a Pisces.
Tell you what. One of the things that you do know you're getting as soon as you start watching this film is the ultimate 90s action predictability. Like, this is the movie, among others, that stuff like South Park and Rick and Morty just fucking love. Like, you know exactly what's going to happen every step of the way. Also, by the way, the president in Rick and Morty is in this.
Yeah, 100% this.
As the president?
No, as
no, as the what, chief of general, chief, joint chief of staffs or whatever.
Yeah,
That sounds ridiculous. What I just said, the joint chief of staffs, just the joint chief of staff. If that's a thing,
the joint chief of staff.
If not, sue me. Anyway,
but Megan wasn't watching my wife, but she walked past at one point and said, is Ben Affleck going to die in this? This was like before they left for the thing. I was like, no. What's going to happen is he'll be about to die and Bruce Willis will save him, sacrificing himself, and say something like, tell Gracie, I'm sorry I couldn't keep my promise. And basically that exact thing happened. Like, almost to the word. It was almost perfect. But... yeah, it's fine. That's fun.
I will say, there's one of the scenes that I really enjoy is when they're all having their medicals and it's ridiculous. And at one point, there's what looks like a massive anal probe, and then Michael Clark Duncan rips off his medical gown and starts dancing around in his little like animal print pants. And it's this ridiculous, oh, fuck it, we're going to save the world because Harry told us to. And we're all terrified, but let's have fun. And I really like that for me. You know, that whole summary from Rotten Tomatoes about it being a hotshot crew, that epitomises to me like an action hero 90s film is this group of misfit, slightly weird, kind of outside of society, but also really amazing heroes. Yeah. Like this
just
motley
like watching
crew.
Suicide Squad the other week, Gareth.
Are about to save the world. I haven't watched it. I haven't watched it yet or listened to the podcast. So no spoilers for me.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, the only thing that I would say is the Suicide Squad is a lot less of a pro
cliche
oil drilling piece of propaganda than Armageddon is.
Yeah, true.
It's just, true. This film was made for Republicans, wasn't it? Like,
probably, yeah.
Donald
Trump watches this on a sort of routinely. Yeah. A yearly routine. Actually, now he's not Republican, is he? Well, probably won't. Who knows what's going to happen with him? But
he's now the Joint Chief of Staff.
He's the Joint Chief of Staff.
Yeah. Gaz, what about you? Give us a favorite scene.
I'm going to go just a step before yours, actually, Emma. I know that it's cheesy, but. And it's very 90s, but you don't see enough of this these days. It's like a sort of recruitment montage. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God, I love the recruitment montage.
Yeah, and they're like...
Oh God, oh God.
Owen Wilson's riding a horse being chased by helicopters.
By the way,
Harley Davidson.
What on earth is the point of Owen Wilson in this film? What? Why is he in it?
He's awesome.
To die.
What do you mean he's awesome?
Well, I hope...
they talk about him being this like incredible genius, but then Steve Buscemi takes the genius role. And
yeah,
Owen Wilson's
kill him off,
lines are about, he's so expendable. He could be the good-looking one, but Ben Affleck's that. He could be the smart one, but Steve Buscemi's that. He could be...
funny one, but Steve Buscemi is that.
When they do the recruitment, that's a good one. And they're all in their little different contexts. And I love how they're all trying to avoid the FBI because they all think they're in trouble because they're all roughnecks, which is cool.
They don't work for BP or Shell.
They work for Stamper Oil.
Stamper Oil. Unfortunately, to this day, Stamper Oil is still not invested in renewable energies, and I have to say that is a shame.
I have to admit,
poor form, AJ, poor form.
One of the things I'd forgotten about is the beginning of the film. So I mentioned about it's an extinction level event. And Joe perked up and went, there were 5 extinction level events before that one. I was like, it's a film, leave Michael Bay alone. He doesn't know his science. But was when you meet all of them on the oil rig and I don't know how you felt, Gaz, but I obviously knew it was Liv Tyler in AJ's bed. And then when Bruce Willis is chasing him around the oil rig with a shotgun, which obviously you don't do, it's an oil rig, don't fire weapons. But it's when almost like the recruitment montage, but it's when you get to meet everyone as well. And then you've got Michael Clark Duncan with the biggest wrench I've ever seen in my life, just being like, whoa, do, do, do.
Yeah, it was a bit cartoon.
I like that.
If AJ hadn't jumped out the way of that first shot, Harry literally would have just blown AJ's head off. Like, what's happening here? This isn't the rest of that. Quite set the context for the film.
He's a very
Stamper
protective
oil
father.
Does its own thing.
What happens on the oil rig stays on the oil rig.
Correct.
Well, apparently so, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they get over their differences, don't they? And to be fair, it's very fatherly shooting towards AJ, isn't it? It comes from a place of love. I'm only trying to blow your head off.
Tough love. Tough
I
love.
Think of you as my son.
And you're boning my daughter.
Boning.
Lads.
Can we talk about the scene where Harry's like, my boys need a break, they're all going a bit insane, and then they go out and Steve Buscemi takes $100,000 loan and they go to the strip club?
We can. I think you've talked about it.
You've just talked about it. That's
but,
it.
But isn't it brilliant? Can I just ask you how much you like it? Because I love it.
Let me think. $100,000. How many strippers, Gareth, could you get for $100,000? Should we do the math?
Depends ask season. Me this question. I don't
you
know.
You could get 100,000 $1 bills.
Gareth's a scumbag. He knows the answer.
You give 10 per stripper.
It's a shame
that's
John's 10, not here,
10,000 strippers.
It's the one time we actually need John, believe it or not.
Because he's a former stripper, so he knows exactly.
Yeah, he knows what to charge.
And the worrying thing is I'm now picturing John stripping.
Oh no.
And I can tell you what, $100,000 would not be enough.
To make me want to see that, yes.
This is maybe these scenes here are kind of part of that could have been cut. And we could have stopped this film from being 2.5 hours long. It has no consequence. They get arrested. I don't even think there's a follow-up mention of the fact that they got arrested. Like, they don't have to... Nobody has to come and get them out of jail. Nobody the next day says, come on, man, what are you doing? Nothing. There is nothing.
No consequences whatsoever.
No consequences. There are no consequences to fucking New York getting demolished by a bunch of asteroids.
Yeah.
Nobody mentions it.
At least the dog survived. Michael Bay did once say in an interview, it's one of the opening scenes, you can't kill a dog. You can't kill a dog in a film. It's awful. So, Little Richie, he's alive.
Little Richard. But, yeah, I mean, I thought, because obviously I've never seen the film before, I thought Little Richard and his owner were going to be one of the drillers.
Major characters, Yeah.
Yeah. There's a fair bit of time spent on them.
Imagine that.
That's it.
Yeah. The first half an hour of the film.
Ridiculous if there was a dog in a little astronaut suit on the asteroid with him. That would be
Oh, yeah. That would, it, would make it ridiculous.
Would yeah. it, though? Because Correct. I know that would be my 169th error, but I'd love it.
When Liv Tyler loses it at Truman, like, that's my family up there. It's like,
that's my family up there.
I don't want to hear yes. I think so.
Right. Things are a little bit bigger than your family, you idiot. There's major things at work here. And also, what the fuck are you doing there? Why are you there? Why is she allowed there? It's nonsense.
NASA, have you not seen NASA's chill, man? They're so cool. They broadcast
chill.
Everything now. They're showing, you know,
they let teachers go to space.
Classifying UFOs,
NASA
and shit,
Island, you know,
Pentagon. It's all fucking lovey dovey now. Don't worry about it. Aliens,
yeah, they're not in 98,
yeah,
mate. 1998.
True. In 98, it was like, this is classified.
Yeah, it was classified in 1998. I mean, I know we talked a bit about the cast, but I want to. There's a couple of people I want to call out. So, firstly, Lucius Malfoy is in this film.
Oh yeah, he is. Yes. He's the one.
He is.
He's the sort of chief
Ronald
science
Quincy.
Officer.
At one point, he gets referred to as a wizard, which I thought was really funny, because he's in the Harry Potter as a wizard. Peter Stormare, who plays the Russian cosmonaut, has been in so many bizarre things, but I can't name any of them apart from Constantine. Can you remember any of the other films he's been in?
Do you know what I was thinking of with him? He's maybe got the coolest sounding name in the world. Like, I mean, how it's written is still pretty cool, but how it sounds, Stormare. Stormare. Yeah. That's
pretty
mad.
Awesome, isn't it?
That is insane. Peter Stormare. No way. That's ludicrous. You can't have that good a surname. But he does. I don't know what else he's
My
in.
My child is yet to be born, but I might name them Stormare just because I can.
But then they get fucked over with having Leonard as the surname. But
Stormare Leonard sounds like a fucking good name. So don't have a go at that. All right?
Actually, I might allow it. Now, if you'd like to know one of the things that Peter Stormare has been in, he was once in a video called The Batman versus Dracula, which
there you go.
I'd watch. And he voiced Strauss in Quake 4.
okay.
just in case you wanted to know. One of my favourite performances is William Fichtner, and I know I've mentioned him before. And actually, funny enough, Peter Stormare was in Prison Break with William Fichtner. I remember them and working together, like, absolutely brilliant. And I kept seeing his face and thinking, I cannot remember you. I cannot remember. So he plays Colonel Willie Sharp, if nobody remembers. Yep. And I think he's excellent. So there is obviously a scene where he has a gun in space.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the reality of it. But what I like is the one-liner that comes out when they come back, where just as they're getting off the little spaceship, Steve Buscemi goes, let's just not talk about the gun on the asteroid. You know, we're heroes now, and then they all jump down.
No, he's talking about his own thing with the gun.
He's talking about his own actions, not
where he goes silly, if you remember. He gets that
he goes space mad. Space madness. Yeah. Setting fast.
So he gets the space dementia, according to...
Oh, God. It reminds me... That reminds me of a Ren and Stimpy episode where Ren and Stimpy are in space. I mean, God, if anyone hasn't watched Ren and Stimpy since they were kids, go back and watch Ren and Stimpy. It is fucked up. You will see things.
It was fucked up when I was a kid.
You thought were acceptable as a kid. It is insane what that show got away with. But there's an episode where Ren and Stimpy are in space. I think it's called Marooned. And basically, they go space mad. And it just Steve Buscemi reminds me of Ren in that episode of Ren and Stimpy.
Okay.
Fucking hell.
But go watch Ren and Stimpy.
It's interesting because Steve Buscemi talks about like how he played the character and he took on the role with a view that his character saw the mission as a suicide mission, which is why he behaves the way he does. And I just think he's brilliant. I mean, Steve Buscemi is never bad in a film, is he?
I will say you don't get that until the point that he starts shooting at like an idiot shooting everything.
When it goes,
then I was like, what's happening here? But that was very sudden and out of nowhere, and I'm not quite sure I got what he was going for. If he thought that it was suicidal from the start, I suppose that's why. I suppose thinking now, that's why he takes the 100 grand, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, no worries. Because he thinks he's
no more likely to die than you are.
This is a far deeper film than I realised. I have suddenly clocked it. I just wanted to check, Lucien Malfoy, Jason Isaacs, right?
Correct. Mm. Yeah, Jason Isaacs.
What's his character's name in this?
Ronald Quincy.
Is he the... Oh, he's the like super...
He's the science guy. Yeah, super science, guy. Works for NASA. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Got you. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, he's clever.
Yeah.
He is very clever.
He's more clever than Owen Wilson.
And more clever than the president's chief astrophysicist, who only got a C- at MIT.
True.
So, I mean, that's terrifying, isn't it? C-, poor.
Not sure that's how the grading system works.
Again, you know, suspend your reality for a film like this. Is there any other business about the content or the performances of Armageddon before we move on to the quiz?
Let's quiz it up.
Let's do it.
Len, please remind the listeners of the rules of the quiz.
Simple. 6 questions. Has to score 50%. Anyone who's good at math will know that that is 3 correct answers. If you get 3 correct answers, you do not have to watch the film again. Any less than 3 correct, you have to watch the film again. Music begins now.
Gareth, it's time to prove that you have watched all 2 hours and 30 minutes of Armageddon.
And I proved it. I gave it 3 blueberries. That's enough.
Well, no, it's not. It is not enough. Question number 1. Gareth, how many days are there before the asteroid hits and destroys the Earth?
Ouch.
That's a good question. It's 18.
Correct!
I like that as a question because it made sense, it was sensible, and it was at a decent level of difficulty. So, and I already had that one in my back pocket. So,
well done. What is the name of Steve Buscemi's character?
Rock Hound.
Okay, we're going to have to get a bit more challenging, I think, here, because that is
No. We don't need to get any more challenging. That's perfect. That's perfect, because that gave me a second of dread, and then I remembered it. So that's what you want. That's what you want from a quiz.
Okay. Before they go to space and agree to go to space with Harry, the team make a number of requests, including not ever having to pay taxes again and spending the summer in the White House. How many parking tickets.
Oh, come on.
Does Owen Wilson's character Oscar want written off?
I mean, that's
bonus point if you can tell me in how many states.
I think it ended in a 7. I'm going to say 57 across 11 states.
Is it only 50? Okay, yeah, I was going to say it's 50 states. So.
It's 56.
Oh, get fucked. How many states?
I'm so sorry. 7. It's 56 tickets in 7 states. I'm so sorry, Gaz, but you don't get a point for that. I think we should give Gaz half a point for that, though.
Nah, fuck
because
him. No, fuck him.
No points.
Hey, just, Len, you just remember the bet that I let you off this morning, by the way. So I can reverse my decision on that.
Doesn't matter.
We're going to take another 20 minutes in this quiz.
Oh, God.
Gareth, question number 4. How many feet do Harry Stamper and his hotshot crew have to drill down into the asteroid?
Easy.
800.
Correct. You'll be pleased to know, Gaz, that you are not going to be forced to rewatch Armageddon. But the quiz is not yet over.
Thanks.
It is not yet over.
But for some reason, they keep going. Like, he gets to, like, 802.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. It's very difficult to be that precise when the asteroid's about to blow up and you're about to die.
It's kind of like when you're filling up your car with petrol and you're trying to make it exactly land on, you know, $60.
20 quid.
Or 20 quid in your language. Yeah.
Okay, question number 5. How long has the Russian cosmonaut been on the space station alone?
18 months.
Oh, well done, Gaz.
Why is he not?
Drop my pen. I've dropped my pen. Okay, question number 6, Gareth, the last one, and I did this one especially for you. It's a two-parter. What state is the size of the asteroid compared to? And Gareth, is that accurate?
It's compared to Texas. I'd say it's the same size as Texas.
That's a huge state, by the way.
Which is a big one to pick. Honestly, they could have said. They could have said Rhode Island. It would have been big
Illinois.
Enough.
Illinois.
Any of them would have been fine. I don't know if it's accurate because I don't know what the size of the asteroid was.
Let's,
so I'm going to let's guess.
Put it this way.
No.
I don't know the answer. I wanted your opinion as geography boy. I just
let's put it this
might.
Way. The asteroid's big enough to have gravity, which would mean it has to be bigger than the moon to have the sort of gravity that Michael
is Texas
pays.
Bigger than the moon?
No, I don't think they've got it's got more
they
gravity
have...
than the moon.
No, listen. They have to use
what Texas? No gravity in Texas
to keep them on the ground, right? But what I will say is on the moon, you can just hop around and stuff. On their planet, they're walking around like it's fucking nothing's business.
Right, I'm going to ask you to go and take this conversation offline as homework and report back.
I'll take it to the moon.
Yeah, maybe go to the moon then. Why not? You know, fucking hell. Wow. Okay. Well, Gaz, well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've done a stellar job of passing.
I was nervous. I was nervous going in. I'll be honest.
Hey,
so,
Gaz, you drive. Really. You make me. You make Gaz. You make me Luna. See what I did there?
Oh, good. Wait, what's
I have reached my Dante's peak here.
Oh, that's
Let's
good.
Let's move along. Yeah, that was quite good for me, but no one actually laughed. So.
I'm just trying to think
Gaz
of
is
a
thinking.
Space.
Wheels are turning.
Clearly didn't have much of a deep impact, did it?
Oh, nice. I'm getting out of here, so...
but before you do, Gaz, I think it's time for somebody to reveal, and it's not going to be me, what the next How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That is. Fuck.
We haven't discussed this, have we?
So, turns out that Emma got hit by an asteroid during this podcast. One
we
of
tried
the
to
rogue
save her.
Asteroids from New York hit one of the other many populated cities and hit Emma. So, she's all right though, don't worry, just bump on the head. But turns out that I'm going to have to do the outro. So, Gareth did the quiz, he passed, well done mate.
Cheers for your support throughout.
Yeah, no worries.
Constantly.
What I will say is, for the first time ever, because of this technical error, there will be a surprise reveal in the next How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That next month about what we'll be covering. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one. Check out Suicide Squad review. Check out Worst of Netflix coming back in a few weeks. Check out Not All Sequels coming out in a few weeks. Subscribe to the podcast. patreon.com/fancritical to give us some special dollary dues to make more podcasts. And thank you all for your continued support. I want to say thank you to Emma, who is now resting her head injury in hospital. I want to say thank you to Gareth.
Armageddon out of here. I've already said
good
it,
one.
But it is too good a pun.
And thanks to me. Thanks to me, because I really made this podcast the best. So thanks, guys.
Which one are you?
Catch you on the next one. Yeah. Rock out.